Okay, so welcome back to episode 4 of The Dragon and the Stoic. And for this episode, we're getting a little bit more personal. And the topic we're going to be discussing is working relationships, and more specifically, establishing working relationships with people that you care about, be that your romantic partner, be it a very close friend, or just developing a circle of collaborators who are also very important to you in other parts of life. And this kind of came up for us because a listener of this podcast commented that they had never heard a podcast before with a married couple who are also working together, and they found that particularly interesting. So we thought there was some more ground to explore here to sort of unpack how we go about doing it and perhaps sharing some thoughts on some good practices for entering into this kind of thing. But perhaps a good place to start is taking a little trip down memory lane to the kind of origin story of where this began for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because in some ways in society, it's quite unusual for partners to partner up. But I mean, I have a very close friends that are also married who's kind of like modeled this before. We also have two friends here in England who are a couple who's working together and merging their brains and their lives. So I think just having seen it before massively helped with kind of discovering it. But the moment where we kind of like, oh wow, this is going to be possible, was, I think it was approximately 6 months into our relationship, where I was still living in Sweden, but I was visiting here. And a collaborator of mine was thrilled to hear that I was in England, because the DNAD award show was going to be, and a project I had led was nominated. And I had never been to a DNAD award show in London. It felt very grand for a Swedish girl like me. So I came into your studio and I said, hey, there's this thing on, some work that I've been involved in. It's been nominated. Would you like to go? And you responded?
I said I should probably go to that because I'm also nominated.
Yeah, which you hadn't told me. I didn't know that was happening. So that was a fun surprise. And we went into London, we went to the award show, and we ended up, both of us, winning with the projects. You won for best, was it sound design?
Yeah, sound design.
And I think my project was best name for branding. And it was in the reflection of people when we were like in the networking phase after the award, when we were kind of mingling around and, you know, doing the work, that people were kind of like, oh, so you won and you also won, like, so you work together? It's like, no, we don't work together. We're together. And they were kind of tripping over the fact that, like, it's two separate projects and we just happen to be a couple as well. And I think after that evening, it was evident for us that, like, oh, we're closer in proximity in terms of our industry than we maybe have thought ourselves from the beginning. And it was a little bit of like, oh, you're really good at this, and like, I've been fortunate to work on this with some good people too. Like, maybe we should kind of merge our skill sets that aren't too similar, but they're still close and relevant to each other. And it was quite cute the day after. I remember walking along the beachfront and, like, very carefully and gently starting to be like, oh, but like, well, how would it look like if we were to do this together? And obviously we've been talking about me moving to England, and that was going to happen anyway. So this was like the first unfolding of, could we potentially work together? And it was really gentle discussions in the beginning, because I think you really didn't want to make your dream mine, and I didn't want to like intrude on your dream and make it mine, and like carefully just talking about how this could look and are you sure, making sure that we're not cross passing onto each other's desires and goals and wishes, and then discovering that, like, oh no, but they're pretty similar. And then obviously it was a long time of just talking about what is it that we want to create, and a lot of planning, a lot of dreaming, a lot of workshopping, until we landed in a format that we saw, like, oh, this can actually work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the planning aspect of that was really important, which we'll come back to a bit later. But I think it would be good to talk about some of the challenges that can come up in this kind of situation. I mean, well, really, the first thing I think that's really important is having a sense of alignment, or on the flip side, misalignment, or detecting some kind of misalignment, and really sort of zoning in on to the energetic match between you and a potential collaborator. And this kind of sits at the foundation of everything else, really, because I think if this part is correct, then the rest just kind of falls into place. It's like a sort of the biggest domino, or the furthest back domino. And I think the real entryway to this is, do you have a match in terms of values, and what kind of people you want to be in the world, or what you want to bring about in the world on a kind of abstract level, as well as kind of more specific goals and things that you're hoping to aim towards. But yeah, I think alignment really is the most important piece of it.
Yeah. And it is a very tricky thing, because I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the doing and the dreaming, and we want to achieve something, and it just feels you're just in a sea of possibilities in the beginning. But I think a big thing in the beginning is really to evaluate your own values and, like, discover that. And it's easier said than done, I believe. But really, like, looking at what is important in you for the foundational pieces in life is, as you said, it's going to set you up for an easier ride when it gets tough. Like, it doesn't automatically remove all the challenges. The challenges will come either way. It's just how you're going to meet them and how you're going to solve them together with this person. And I think a few of those values that have been important to us, or like these key features kind of the foundational pieces, are communication. I mean, it starts and ends with communication always. But within that, it needs to be honest and transparent, because if you're not honest with yourself or with other person about how you're feeling and what's really going on, and willing to share that transparently, you can communicate all you want, but it's not going to get you the results that will, bring you forward. And then one, like, fundamental value that I think needs to be on a balanced scale in any relationship, really. This is how I think about my friendships, family, whatever kind of relationship I have, which is also applicable to working relationship, is a balance of willingness. So there needs to be an equal willingness in terms of, are we willing to put down the work for this? Am I willing to meet you in this? Am I willing to compromise for you? Because if there is a glitch in willingness, which I feel like we can see quite often, there is going to be friction. And I think that's been a super important thing for us. And perhaps it even helps with us being married as well, because obviously there's a big willingness piece for us, that we're willing to make this work because, yeah, we're building our life around it. But that's something that I would, consider. So finding someone who you can communicate with honestly and transparently, who has a similar quality of willingness. And that's, the bits outside your actual, the goals and what you want to do and the skills and so on that you have. So it's more on the more hidden, abstract, soft side, I guess. And I remember when we talked about this the other day, that it ties back to the gut feeling that you said, like that intuitive voice. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, I think Well, it's interesting what you're saying about willingness, because it's almost like if that piece is there, then both of you are willing to take 100% responsibility when something goes wrong, rather than it becoming... And it's funny because we never really... This is not intended to be a sort of love podcast, but so many of the... There are some kind of parallels in terms of, like you were just speaking there about, some of this just applies to any relationship you have. And, you know, when you're dealing with human beings, these things, these things tend to...
you can just not escape. That's what marriage does. That's you have to look at it because it's not going to change otherwise.
But I think there is another component, which, the gut feeling or the intuition, which is really those things that you just spoke about are not always easy to kind of dissect in your logical mind. Because we have a tendency to perhaps, you know, focus more on the positives, especially when we're planning something that feels very exciting. We perhaps don't pay as much attention to the potential problems as we ought to. And I think a good barometer of this is just how it feels in your body. And I think your body kind of detects these kind of underlying frequencies that your thinking mind perhaps can easily miss. So I think if it feels, you know, if it feels inspiring in a way that is giving you a bodily sensation that feels great, then that's a good sign.
Yeah. And I would also say that that's something I want to encourage people to do more of, like listening to your gut also in business. Because for us, for example, we're in the creative industry and we're creating things, and there's this quite normalized way of talking about the gut instinct in creativity. So you know when you've hit the nerve, or like you feel really good about this, and the more you kind of tune that instrument, the better results you're going to get, because that inner conviction of what is good and not of what you're creating is kind of what leads you to better quality all the time. As I said, encouraging people to kind of apply that to business as well. Because if we honor the kind of wisdom that's bubbling around and tune into that, I think that we get a more wholesome and present experience in ourselves, that we're actually navigating to what feels good. And that is, if you haven't figured out what your core values are, like that's a good place to start, is to really just feel in like, oh, am I bumping up against something here? This just doesn't feel good. And what direction is it that I want to take? That is going to give you clues in regards to like what is the most important to you.
Absolutely. But then there are more practical things to navigate. I mean, the most obvious one is your working hours. You know, when are you going to turn off work? When are you going to rest? All these things are open for discussion and, you know, completely up to you as to what you choose. But one thing with that, which we found very useful, is to have a plan, and not just a plan for each day, but having a plan that's much more long-term, which then informs the plan for each day. And I think just delegating that responsibility away from your day-to-day mind just creates so much less stress and so much less kind of cyclical thoughts around these things, because just spending time, I mean, we can go into that in more detail perhaps on another time, but just spending some time each week just reviewing a kind of long-term plan, and then having a system where you feed that down into each day of the week really reduces a lot of these kind of issues around practicalities.
Yeah, and surprise, surprise, the planning system that you've kind of put us in is also based on values. That's where it all starts.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it sounds almost a bit too obvious, like, yes, of course, it's important with planning. But to me, I think it's easy to know that you're going to do it, but harder to actually to make it, to make the plans and try to put yourself on a trajectory in a direction. I always say, I have a big slide when I'm teaching at the like creative schools that says that planning is just like sex. The more time you spend on the details beforehand in the foreplay, the better the ride is going to be. So really just like putting the boring part in the beginning, just spending time on like warming up the process of like, what is it that we want to do? Because it's so fun to just get into doing things and like throwing ourselves out there. And obviously it's more fun to create than it is to sit and do administrative work or trying to organize yourself before. But there's huge benefits to just spend a bit of time in the...
I mean, I love the analogy that planning is sexy.
Yeah.
but it's not perfect in the sense that foreplay is certainly not boring.
But, okay, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I digress.
This is not a love podcast.
It's not a love podcast.
Yeah, but I'd like to segue away from the foreplay. The last bit of that, you know, we've had the practical boundaries and everything, the foundational pieces that you need to be aligned and so on. But one big chunk is also the emotional stress or the uncertainty, like there's the financial bit. We've put all our eggs in one basket. I mean, that feels both very exciting, but also very scary. But one big part of that, I think, specifically if you're thinking about working together with a love partner, is that you're going to have to be vulnerable enough to show the messy middle, like the very, very unflattering process, because everyone wants to be able to like go into a room, come out with a finished result and be like, look how shiny and perfect this thing is. Like, my brilliant mind conjured this, you know, whereas we actually get to see what's happening behind the scenes every day. And it's a big difference of what is going on behind the scenes and what's on stage, truly. So being willing to kind of show the days where you're not as perfect as you would like to be, or when you're just having, you know, some insecurities or a bad day, or you're stuck in procrastination, like the ugly bits that we really, really don't want to admit to ourselves that everyone does. And I think a big part, another fundamental piece for us there is kindness. Because the kinder we can be to ourselves in terms of the messy middle or just the bits that aren't as nice, the kinder we can be to ourselves and each other, the quicker we pick up the pace and kind of catch up again.
Yeah, and it's a huge privilege to see those bits behind the scenes. And I know we're still talking about the challenges, and that is obviously a challenge. But I think viewing it as this, I think when you have a longer term horizon, these challenging moments or the unpolished bits or the mistakes all become essential pieces of a much more beautiful and rich story.
Yeah, a journey. And we also have a bit of a positive to that. So maybe we should just, because I feel like each and every of these points, now we're going to flip into the positives of like the opportunities that comes with it.
Well, I think the most, again, starting with the kind of foundational piece, back to the alignment and values, the biggest pro is that you get to be in charge and design your life and how you integrate work and life together. As we were speaking in the challenges, like how much time you actually spend working. But beyond that, you can also operate on whatever hours you wish to work, and there's just so many benefits to having control of your kind of working destiny in this way. You get much more time with your partner or your collaborator, which is a pro and a con, but I think...
let's be honest.
Well, there's a, you know, the con, of course, is that you don't have an instant access to novelty in the same way, where you've had a separation and then you get to come back and reconnect. You know, you're with each other most of the time.
Yeah.
Which means that you have to kind of work that into your life. But then that in itself is also a con, because it forces you to...
Also a pro, you mean?
also a pro, excuse me, because it forces you to make life more interesting together, as opposed to just relying on novelty that occurs because you have separate things going on.
Mm. Yeah.
And as well, there's this amazing part of it, which is creative accountability. And I think being accountable to your collaborators is a huge part of why collaboration is kind of the foundation of pretty much any success story, I think. Mm. You know, we often like to think of individuals as geniuses and things, but in almost all cases, or anyone that I've admired, there's usually a team of people around them which enable the success and lift that person up. And I think in this context, you know, we found that just having someone to share ideas with, but also share what you're working on, and a sounding board in my case, just having an attuned set of ears with great taste sitting with me while I'm working on stuff, is an amazing thing.
Yeah, and I think this piece is what ties back to the vulnerability of showing the bits that we're not super proud of. But like the creative accountability bit is really a supportive partner who can keep you, pick you up when you're kind of, yeah, falling behind a bit. And that it really, if you have an agreement from before that like, I want to pursue this, or I want to achieve this, I want to overcome this, I really want to dare to... yeah, expand into whatever is your current dream. It is so good to have someone who's allowed to both see when you're falling, but also is there to hold you accountable, to pick yourself or like support you to get up. So that's really important.
Yeah, because there's like this pendulum between when it's time, when you're just perhaps being a bit, you know, procrastinating or being lazy, when you should just be, it's time to focus. Or there's the times when you need rest.
Mm.
And I think having that accountability in your partner is a good, you know, someone to kind of say where you are on that pendulum.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's hard to know for yourself until someone points it out to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we take turns. We like switch roles a lot there to kind of... suggest that could be the positive in the situation. So suggesting a bit of break, suggesting fresh air, like it could be such simple things, but then also sometimes suggesting like, get your shit together. Like you're better than this. I believe in you, you know. But to wrap this bag of goody ups and just have a little bit of a repeat, it's really to find someone, if you're looking for a potential collaborator, really investigate your own values and the foundational pieces of like your alignment, both in terms of your core values, how you want to live, how you want to operate in this world. Of course, also the dreams and desires that you have and the skill sets, like do they actually work together? And maybe I'm tainted a little bit from, you know, from what I do, but it's so important to also just dare to look at the things. It doesn't even have to be problems right now. It could just be the fear or anxiety of a potential problem that needs to be addressed and looked at. So really trying to fearlessly look at everything that is moving through us and daring to put words to that, to see how someone else reacts or to see how that lands within your potential business partner. Because no matter if you leave it unsaid, it's still going to be there. So just put words to it. And then we have the emotional and practical, like it's going to be tough. So putting up the boundaries, planning well, really being in dialogue about these different pieces after that. But on the flip side, you get to design your, you know, own life. Like if you manage to kind of hold the fort within a structure that feels good to you, aligned with your values, there's so much you can do within that playing field. And it's a exciting, evolving, developing, like growing ride with a lot of difficulties, but those get to become so fruitful because we get to see each other grow. And
yeah, and I just want to add a short footnote about this planning thing that we've been, you know, it's been a theme of this episode. It seems to me that it's not so important to have like a rigid plan that you shouldn't deviate from. It's more just the existence of a plan, but the plan is very malleable, and you know, things change in the world, circumstances change, and your feelings change and your goals change. So I think it's more just having something to interact with, some kind of system of reaching towards something coming in the future. But I think it's time for us to introduce the creative piece for this month.
Yeah, so this piece is a poem I wrote, and it is it came from reading a section of a book that was just so heartbreaking. It was about a woman who had Alzheimer's, from her perspective, kind of coming in and out of reality and being stuck in the past and not remembering where she was. And it just touched me so much. And I decided to process that through a poem. So I see it more as a maybe daily reminder that we should appreciate the relationships that we have and, yeah, not take them for granted. So no matter if that's, you know, your colleague or your partner or your mother or your father, this can just be a little reminder that in this mortal, in this mortal life, we only have a certain amount of time together. So make it count. His kisses are like the seeds of a dandelion. They brush my skin as they float by and spread amongst the weeds in my garden. Released from a decaying flower, his aging body, after a lifetime of greeting the sun like a reflection of the sun itself, he is going for a final rest. With its imminent death, he blows one last kiss. And I cry, grasp, I fumble. Trying to catch the dandelion seed as it invites me to one last dance in the evening light. I try to keep up. I twirl with his dance and I fall. On my hands and knees, I cry. I grieve the floating kisses I never caught and rejoice their freedom. Because he once told me that tightly held with white knuckles, the seed of a dandelion goes to waste. My tears water the garden with salty drops. And as I watch his escape kisses settle in the fields, I roll over to rest. On a bed of dandelions, greeting the sun like a reflection of the sun itself.